This is episode number 773 with the Shark Tank Masters. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, a former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. Theodore Isaac Rubin said, "Happiness does not come from doing easy work, but from the afterglow of satisfaction that comes after the achievement of a difficult task that demanded our best." Welcome to this special edition with the Shark Tank Masters. Now, if you're an entrepreneur or you just like the show Shark Tank, we've had a number of the sharks on this podcast on the School of Greatness, and they've been some of our biggest interviews. Some of the most inspiring stories come from entrepreneurs who have had nothing or have been through so many extreme challenges in their life, and yet they went on to become billionaires, famous inventors, successful entrepreneurs, and they've gone on Shark Tank to share their stories and help other young entrepreneurs grow their businesses and brand. And in this interview, we've got Sarah Blakely, who is an American billionaire businesswoman, founder of Spanx. Super inspiring, one of Time Magazine's top 100 most influential people in the world list. We've got Kevin Harrington, who's an entrepreneur and business executive. He's the founder of As Seen on TV. He's been on Shark Tank and a massive keynote speaker and author. We've got Damon John, my friend, who is a best-selling author, inventor, investor, personality, and motivational speaker. We've got him in the house. We've got Matt Higgins, who is co-founder and CEO of RSE Ventures, a private investment firm that focuses on sports and entertainment, media and marketing, food and lifestyle, and technology. And we've got Barbara Corcoran, who is an investor, speaker, consultant, and massive TV personality. Began her career in the 70s with real estate and just blew up in the NYC real estate industry. And in this episode, we talk about what the hardest part of getting a company off the ground is for entrepreneurs, how to evolve your business model and reinvent. This is something that keeps coming up for me is in the industry of social media and digital marketing and people's attention spans constantly getting smaller and smaller. How do we reinvent to build businesses? How to continue to master your skills in sales and marketing and branding? What to do when you go all in and you fail? That's a common question. And what to do with profit when you make it in your business? How do you spend your money so that you grow and protect yourself? Super pumped about this one. Powerful episode. Make sure to share with your friends, lewishowes.com/773, and let me know at Lewis Howes on Instagram what you think when you're sharing it out. I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness.
Again, a big thank you to our sponsors, and I am so excited about this interview with the one and only Shark Tank Masters. Did you wake up every morning and say, this is my dream to sell fax machines door to door? Were you thinking,
no,
what am I doing in my life?
Exactly. So what happened was, a lot of people think that Spanx started when I cut the feet out of my pantyhose, but actually it started long before that. Mm. It started when I was selling fax machines door to door and getting my business card ripped up in my face, being escorted out of buildings all day, every day, that I woke up one day and just thought, I'm in the wrong movie. Like, how did this happen? This is not my life.
Yeah.
Cut, scene, director, like, call the producer. And I got out a piece of paper and I wrote down, what am I good at? And the only thing in the good column was sales. And I thought, okay, what am I going to do with that? And I ended up writing in my journal, I'm going to invent a product and sell it to millions of people that will make them feel good. And then I asked the universe for an idea. And I was very specific. And it took 2 years. And I only cut the feet out of my pantyhose one time. And I was not going to squander any idea the universe gave me because I had really asked for it. And then the minute I cut the feet out, I started trying to make it. I started looking up manufacturers on the internet.
How did you find a manufacturer at that time?
A website called ThomasRegistry.com. And it lists all the manufacturers in the country based on category. And that's when I found out that a lot of hosiery and undergarments were being made in North Carolina.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you got a local.
Yeah.
U.S. Yeah.
So I called and called and no one would take my call and they'd either hang up on me or say they weren't interested. So I took a week off of work and drove around in person.
And just showed up and said,
I just showed up.
Hey, I want to create a sample.
Yeah.
Because if they weren't going to get a big order for something, they're probably like, I'm not going to do a little sample for you.
Right.
Right, yeah.
I showed up with my lucky red backpack from college. It's always with me.
You still have it?
Yeah, of course. So anyway, I went into the manufacturing plants and they asked me the same three questions. And you are, let's say, Sarah Blakely. And you're with?
Like myself.
Sarah Blakely. And you're financially backed by? And I was like, Sarah Blakely. So you can imagine how those went. It was like, well, have a nice day, honey, and good luck. And a few weeks after I made all those rounds, I got a call from a guy in North Carolina who had took pity on me. And said, Sarah, I've decided to make your crazy idea. And when I asked him why he had the change of heart, he said, I have three daughters. Yeah, so he ran the idea by them. And they're like, Dad, that sounds interesting. You got to give that girl a chance.
Amazing. So he called you back. You didn't follow up with these people.
Oh, yeah, I was following up, but
gotcha.
To no avail.
But he followed up and said,
yeah,
we'll give it a shot.
Yes.
We'll make this. So what was the next step? Was he just making a sample for you or testing different models or sizes or?
Yeah. So it just set up to make the garment while I was making it with his manufacturing plant. I was also wanting to patent the idea and I was also trying to come up with the name for the invention. So I was doing those three things simultaneously, driving up on the weekends and working with Ted in the back of the manufacturing plant that I'd become very close with. And
driving to North Carolina from Florida.
No, from Atlanta. I was living in Atlanta at the time. Ted became my buddy and I went to get it patented, but all the patent lawyers wanted between $3,000 and $5,000 and I had $5,000 set aside to do this.
That's it. Yeah.
So I wrote my own patent. I went to Barnes and Noble.
No way.
And I bought a book called Patents and Trademarks and I wrote the patent. And then I called one of the patent lawyers that was the nicest to me and said, please, 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 will you write the claims over the weekend for a discounted price? I've done all the other rest of the patent.
Yeah. The legwork you'd done.
Yeah.
You just kind of needed to button it up and
you needed to do
sign it off.
The legal part. And so he did. He actually admitted to me that when I came to visit him, he thought I'd been sent by Candid Camera. Which, let me put it in your words.
I know Candid Camera. I know.
He thought he was being punked.
Of course. Of course. Wow.
Yeah, he thought he was being punked, okay? And he thought...
Where's Ashton? Where's Ashton?
Yeah, exactly. He thought that his friends were playing a joke on him.
No way.
Yeah, he goes...
Who's this girl?
He goes, Sarah, I mean, like, you're not the typical person who walks in the door saying, I've got a product and I want to patent it.
Wow.
So anyway, he did that. Then at the same time, I'm trying to think of the name. I had horrible names written on scrap pieces of paper all over the place in my apartment, in my car, in rental cars, on the back of like Avis agreements. And you want to hear how bad the runner-up name to Spanx was?
Yeah.
Open-toed Delilahs.
No way.
Yes.
I cannot believe that was even an option.
It was the runner. I was like, how bad is that?
Open-toed Delilahs?
I so wouldn't be sitting here with you right now if I named it that.
That is the horrible. Yeah,
it's so bad.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, okay. So
what does Spanx stand for?
Well, it's all about the butt. And it makes your mind wander a little bit. Nobody ever forgets it. I had no money to advertise. It was risky. It was fun. Mm. At the time, listen, now it's become a household name. But when I first invented it, I would call people and say, hi, I'm Sarah from Spanx. And they would hang up.
Right. Because it was probably like a porn.
Yeah, they thought I was pranking them. I'm like, no, really, I'm Sarah and my company really is called Spanx. And I had department stores across the country that wouldn't sell it. They thought it was too risque of a name. Yeah. And my mom sent her whole luncheon to the wrong website when I first started. I was like, Mom, it's with an X.
Oh my God.
It's super important. Yeah, it's with an X. So yeah. Anyway, I ended up buying the word Spanx from a man who said he was holding out from the porn industry. Funny enough that
you
say that.
I bet. Yeah.
I paid for
Spanx with an X.
I paid some money for that. But anyway, yes. Hmm. So
amazing.
Named it Spanx. It came to me because I narrowed down my thinking. I knew that Kodak and Coca-Cola were the two most recognized names in the world at the time. And I thought, what do they have in common? I like to think about words and phrases a lot. They both had a strong K sound in them. And the man that created Kodak liked the K sound so much, he took a K and put it in the beginning and the end of the word and played with letters in the alphabet. So, and I also had a bunch of friends who did stand-up comedy, and it's this weird trade secret among comedians that the K sound will make your audience laugh. So I put all that together and I'm like, okay, I want my product name to have the K sound in it for good luck. And literally Spanx came across my dashboard in my car in my mind. And I pulled off the side of the road. I wrote it down. I went home that night. I typed it in my computer for $150 with my credit card. And at the last second, I backspaced the K and the S and put in an X and hit send.
So it was accident. Kind of with the X.
Gotcha. I backspaced because I'd stared at it for a while and I had done research that made up words do better for product than real words and they're easier to trademark.
Yeah.
So then I had the name and I had the patent in the works, got my prototype, and my patent lawyer said, Sarah, I need to know what's in this garment in order to write the patent. I said, okay, no problem. We'll call Ted. So I get Ted on the phone. I'm like, Ted, can you talk to
the manufacturer?
Yeah. Right, I'm like in the back. I'm like, Ted, can you talk to my patent lawyer? He's like, yeah. So we're all talking and I go, can you tell him what's in it? He's like, yeah, well, it's 70% nylon and 30% lacquer. And I'm like, all right. And so I'm taking notes. My patent lawyer's taking notes. And that night I could not sleep. I'm up all night. And the next morning I wake up, I'm like, how is there lacquer in this product?
What is lacquer? Just so I'm aware.
I think it's like paint thinner or something.
Okay.
So I called
30% paint thinner.
So I called Ted. I go, Ted, can you spell lacquer? He's like, yeah, L-Y-C-R-A. I'm like, oh my God, Lycra.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I was like,
got it. Do an all change on lacquer immediately.
All change.
My patent lawyer was laughing. He said, you know how fast you would have gotten a patent if you tried to make this out of paint thinner? He's like, they would have been like, sure.
So was it challenging to get it? Did you get it the first try?
The patent? I did.
Wow. Usually it takes a few turns, doesn't it?
I got the patent the first try, and I got the trademark name Spanx.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So it didn't seem like there was that many challenges once you submitted it or whatever. You kind of got the things you needed in place. You got the orders in. Was there a lot of challenges after that? Once you got the patent, the trademark?
That was a really hard part. It's just I heard the word no for 2 years.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
All the manufacturers, nobody thought it was a good idea.
Wow.
And also when you're just yourself trying to break into an industry, like you mentioned, the manufacturers, it's not really in their best interest to slow down machines or try to give a girl with a couple grand a chance.
Unless you're going to give them a bunch of money for a big order of something.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the point?
Right.
Right. what's the proven model that everyone needs, whether it's going to be a mega hit or maybe it's not going to work, but it needs it either way.
Right.
The formula.
My business model coming off Shark Tank is people would see me on Shark Tank and they're like, I wonder, what do people really want when they go on Shark Tank? They want money, but then people would come to me off of the show and like email me and say, look,
yeah,
I do want money and I need money, but if I could just do a deal with you, you open up your Rolodex, maybe
more than money.
We can go raise money together. So that is sort of my new model over the last about 4 or 5 years is I take strategic advisory positions, mm-hmm. board positions, public companies, as well as startups.
Yeah.
And so that really has been really fun because I've got equity in a little company that started at 10 cents a share. It's now $3.60.
Nice.
And, you know, what could be so bad to get a lot of shares in those kind of deals, right?
Of course.
So I have tens of millions of shares of public companies. You know, I think Tim Ferriss is kind of doing this kind
of
stuff.
Of course.
In on the ground floor and take a little equity and open up the Rolodex and all that. So I really love and I'll bring some capital to the table if it's needed.
Sure.
But if somebody's like, hey, I need $1 million, I can't just fund every deal that needs $1 million because eventually you run out of money, right?
Exactly.
You know, and plus I'm married now twice, and my new wife, and you know, we've been together 14 years, so that's new because I have a 28-year-old son from my first marriage and 19-year-old boy also. But she's like, you know, you can't be everything to everybody, so you have to kind of pick and choose what you want to do and focus on the winners and the winning people with a winning business.
That's it.
Yeah. So that's really, you know, because the Ascena TV business is, they're in the middle of disruption because it's no secret there's a lot less people watching TV today than there was 5 years ago.
Right.
In fact, it's 50% less than it was 10 years ago.
No way.
Yeah.
Because everyone's online.
Phone, they're online.
Online or whatever,
I mean, I'll give you a great example. My 19-year-old started college, went over, got his apartment for him, and the furniture's being delivered. Uh-huh. The cable guy shows up. And I said, great, what cable package did you get, Nick? And he said, sorry to tell you, Dad, but he's just putting in internet.
Just to
Apple
TV or Netflix.
He says, I don't watch TV. I'm like, how do you think we're paying for your college education? And, you know, you're getting at least a basic channel package.
See it in commercial.
I need to be able to watch some shows when I'm over here hanging out at your place. So so he got cable. But I mean, I'm like, he knew he was going to offend me by not getting something, but he wasn't telling me till I got there. So kids don't watch TV like
it's crazy.
You know, I mean, I used to, you know, in the very beginning, I had 5 channels. Then I had the 30-channel package, and that's how I created this whole infomercial space. Is one day I'm watching TV and the screen went dark, and then they put bars up, and that was Discovery Channel. It was dark for 6 hours, and with bars on the screen.
And I should buy that.
I said. Discovery for the first 5 years of its existence was an 18-hour-a-day network.
Shut up.
And I bought the 6 hours nationwide from Discovery. Yeah. Back in the mid-80s.
Wow.
And by the way, we paid them $1,000 a day for 6 hours, and that's $365,000 a year. And that was generating tens of millions of dollars in sales.
That was a great media buy.
So that was an extremely good media buy. And that was the early, early days. So
everyone got in and it got competitive. Yeah.
And then when that contract expired, that time block went from 365, it was a multi-year contract, for $28 million. That's how beautiful.
You had it for 3 years for $1,000
a day? Yes, $1,000 a day. Yes.
You got it.
And it went for $28 million because it was generating tens of millions of dollars in sales. So that's when I said, I got to go to Europe. I got to go to Asia. I got to go to Latin America and start picking up this downtime.
Wow.
So that's
back in the 80s.
This was in the 80s. So we went to Europe and Latin America, et cetera.
Just bought it all up.
Every place we could, we'd sign long-term contracts.
How much is the media right now to buy on TV?
It's outrageous. I mean, Discovery, what we were buying for $1,000 a day, they have slots to go for $20,000 for 30 minutes now. Discovery.
Is it worth it to buy this media?
It's becoming so difficult to make money off of, but our strategies change.
It's like a billboard, right?
It's like a billboard. But what we've had to do is tie it into Amazon and social media. And so anymore today, if you just go on TV, you're not going to make money.
Just like call the phone and
Yeah, you got to go on TV and then have all the other elements around it
ready
to go. And then also pricing protected, because what do most people do now? They see it on TV. They actually
go online
to see if they can find it cheaper. And then there's knockoff guys that actually take out, hey, you've seen the new wave? Click here. Well, they've got something similar for half the price or whatever, right? So it's a cutthroat business. And we drive other people's sales with TV for sure.
Yeah.
In fact, like I said, when there was 20 resellers of that hair growing helmet on Amazon, we had to clean them up. Because why am I going to go on TV and drive their sales?
No.
No, you can't afford it. So, it's a more sophisticated business today.
But you're still active and aggressively buying media on TV?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Even today, 30 years later?
Oh, yeah.
Even
absolutely.
How competitive it is, how much more expensive, it still works.
Yeah, but we start on social media, actually.
Wow.
We start on Facebook or Pinterest or Instagram, one of the social media channels, test it. And then
get a few sales.
Yeah.
Then, okay.
We call it test before we invest.
That's it.
Yeah. It's a focus group.
Proof of concept. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really kind of mentally said to myself, I'll get to know my daughters when they're 10 or 15 years old, because there is no time now. I have to be in Asia for 6 months at a time. I have to be doing this and that. And I questioned if it was the smartest move to do, but I said to myself, you know what? If I was a sanitation worker, I would still, or not nothing wrong with that, but if I worked a city job, I would still work every overtime I could, because I need to be able to provide for them.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I have my beautiful little 2-year-old, and it's a different way of life now. Now, and going back to this, as we'll talk about the book, Rise and Grind, now my theory is, how much love can I give to this little being?
Really?
Yeah, because it has changed. You know, now my life, obviously, I am in a better place, and I have the opportunity to be able to give as much love as I can to her. Not that I don't give as much love as I can to my other daughters. They're my driving force as well.
Right. So do you feel like you have a little bit more balance now? Even though you're working just as hard, but you feel like you take that time to...
I do, but that's exactly how the theory for the book came around. I was...
Because I don't see you slowing down, really.
Right, so what was happening was, I looked at it and I said, you know, I'm going on 9 years of Shark Tank. I have hundreds of companies I work with and or deal with, and I'm investing in a bunch of them. I have a new 2-year-old. I have work-life balance. I want to get home to my lady. You know, I want to do the things I love to do, fish or archery or whatever, snowboard. Or I'm really good on the board, baby. But I want to do all those things.
Yeah.
How do I do it? And I went and I would go in to speak to other people that I respect. And I would say, what's the tricks or the techniques you do to have work-life balance? They all told me the same exact thing, but in different forms.
Mm.
And I started to notice that I can improve in certain areas. Again, like you and I were talking, I don't know if it was on camera or off camera, but there is no one area of success or mastery you get to and you go, I'm done, right? You know, you can be somebody who's a master at jujitsu or karate or something like that. And, you know, at 40 years old or 25 years old, you're a certain master. But at 80 years old, you don't have the same muscle retention or the same speed. So you have to learn to master it a different way. Kind of like when Ali came out of jail and they had stripped him of his prime, he had to learn the rope-a-dope to beat George Foreman, and he had to fight a different way.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share, because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am, or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LEWIS.
Pock and just grind it all day.
Yeah, you can't do that, right? So I had to start figuring out how to master my grind today, because the Damon John at 48 years old is not the grind that the Damon John at 28 years old had. And I learned all these techniques from the book, from asking these people.
Right, right. So what were the big things that people taught you then about this? How to navigate?
So the theory in the book is I study these 15 subjects in there, and they have success from all various ways of life, whether it's Santana or Tyler, the Creator, the Grammy Award-winning kid, or, you know, our buddy Kyle Maynard, who Army crawled on Mount Kilimanjaro with no arms and no legs, right?
He's one of the most inspiring guys ever.
He is. He made me feel like an absolute loser, right? Yeah. And they all told me the same thing, but they told me in different ways and different formulas. And what I found, the takeaway, is that everybody is extremely selfish. All successful people are extremely selfish in a very good way. Like Chris Sacco always says, you know, and a lot of these people here will not answer any emails for the first hour of the day because they believe that you give up all your power if you're answering everybody else's problems when you wake up. They'll send out emails, and like Chris Sacco always says, his inbox is his defense, his outbox is his offense. They won't look at Instagram when they first wake up or anything else because they don't want to hear about how everybody else on the gram is looking beautiful, they're smarter, skinnier, whatever. They all got problems, right?
What would you say to anyone who's been playing small when they maybe think they're playing big, they're listening or they're watching right now, but you know that we're all capable for more? What advice would you have for people playing small?
I would say take that boulder that you're chained to instead of behind you and throw it in front of you. Let it pull you forward.
Wow.
Like do not. Playing small is the best way to ensure that you won't ever achieve big dreams, right? That you have to, don't get comfortable where you're staying right now. Get uncomfortable right away and press ahead. Because you probably know that you inside yourself that you have more to give this world, and it's going to haunt you one day when you look back. So I do think there's something to be said for spending a little time, right? Look around, assess yourself, but quickly move off the dime and press ahead.
Wow.
In fact, my biggest regrets in business so far have been the times I've played small.
Really?
Yeah, it's true. Like, I don't regret the misses, and because I understand why I did them. I don't understand why I played small. Right, there's no great excuse for playing small in retrospect.
When you mean playing small, is it like I made a small investment in this where I could have gone bigger?
Exactly. I think mostly playing small for me looks like I know I'm right. I'm nervous about optics. I'm nervous about being judged for being wrong just in case, or I'm insecure, whatever it is.
So we only put 100K in as opposed to a million.
Exactly. Or something's teetering. And I know I'm right, and I don't double down.
Wow.
Like, that is just, now I haven't made a lot of those, but those are the ones that I regret. Because, and this is Steve's, my partner's point, like, when you have a winner and you know it, those are hard to come by. Go all in, right? Like we, and the spray and pray is nonsense. Spray and pray to me is the playground of people who want to hedge all day long and are afraid to be wrong. Afraid to be wrong, right? I'd rather, and I'm sure
just invest in index funds.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? Right. Then you'll do better anyway. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Get your annualized yield, and you'll be fine. So I think when you have a winner in your hands, doesn't matter if anybody else knows. You got to press it, and that's those are my biggest regrets.
Now, what happens when you press it and you go all in big? And then you lose.
Yeah, those,
and you lose all your money and all your time and energy. How do you look at those deals?
Those are tough.
And you felt like, well, I thought I was right and I knew it, but the market or this or the person, whatever.
Those are painful. But what I say is when you dissect it and you put the, you know, the patient on the table and you sort of do your postmortem, you will quickly find out the thing you missed. And the thing you missed is usually related to some misalignment in your character, your personality, right? Like there was some, so you were worried about the downside. You were worried about acknowledging that they needed to pivot. You didn't confront the CEO because you didn't want to offend them. Or, like there's, I have not had a situation like that where I was not able to dissect what
see
I could
where you missed it.
Where I missed it. It's never, that's what's great about life. It's we're all playing the same patterns. Maybe there are like seven, allegorical patterns playing out. There aren't new ones being created. So if you spend enough time paying attention, you can dissect it. So I'd much rather have gone all in and be wrong than have never gone in all in at all on the winners. Because you don't get many winners.
Don't.
Right?
Big winners. You might get small winners, like, yeah, we made some money there, that did well, and we exited, but the big ones, there's like, how many of those have you? Few years are the big winners.
Well, for one, you have to see so many deals to spot a winner.
I'm curious, you talked about the first year you made a profit, $40,000, I think you said.
47,562. Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. If someone is an entrepreneur right now, let's just say they had their biggest year ever and they had a bunch of extra cash laying around. They're just like, wow, we finally made some money, an extra 100 grand, an extra 300 grand, whatever it is, $1 million. What should they do with that extra money? How should they reinvest it to continue to grow?
Two things I thought of right away. Number one, they shouldn't have that money. Okay. If you're really serious about building a business, you're putting the pedal to the metal, you're spending the money and putting the bets down long before it comes in. So the idea, like I made a mistake that one year I had a profit. Shame on me. I mean, I made something good of it, of course. But you should really have any money coming in over aggressively targeted towards something that you do well. And I think the best place to put the money, and I work with my entrepreneurs all the time on this, and they're not so inclined. Most people want to put the money in on a new idea, a new version, or a new this. No, the best place to put the money is what has worked.
Mm.
Where have you gotten your sales? Give me the sources, what has worked. That's where you put your money, all in. Put it, pile it up until it stopped working, then you move to something else. But people don't do that. People always like the new stuff, like, oh, but we, if we hire a PR company, you know, we'll really get, no, the trade show has produced 80% of your money.
Right, you know. Showing up and building those relationships yourself,
Whatever has worked for you before, keep repeating, and I just think the money shouldn't be there in the first place. Do you know, my whole life, I opened offices much bigger than I had any business doing. If the minute I had sales in a company and started seeing that we were doing well and I started smelling a profit, like we might get a profit, this thing might really start kicking in, I was out looking for office space. And if I needed, if I thought I needed 18 desks, I go out looking for 36.
Wow.
And I plunk the money down, because I found that when you threw the money onto your bet in advance, you find a way to make it work. Mm-hmm. If you wait till the time is right and wait till you have the profit, guess what? There's a smarter guy out there that's already put the money in your competitor and he's already ahead of you. And it's such a quick market when you're competing. You gotta like, pop, 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 like there's a like the timer on you, you know. Get it going. You have to have it done early, I think.
So invest it back in a thing that's worked before for you until it doesn't work anymore.
And more than you think you could handle. Because human beings who are talented, especially entrepreneurs, are remarkable on making things work when the gun's against their head and they're under fire. Yeah. But give them a lot of leeway and have them plot out, they start to go to sleep. It's really it's really not healthy for a business.
It's that pressure that allows you to really kind of have more urgency and make it happen.
Well, you're a football player. Did you play better in a game or in practice?
Game.
Same difference, same old thing.
Yeah. Okay, so you said that was the first thing. You said there was two things, potentially.
So two things that I wanted to say was you shouldn't have the money. It should be spent way in advance. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is spend it on stuff that's worked before.
There you have it, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this episode with the Shark Tank Masters. If you're looking to build your business, start your entrepreneurial dream, or just get a side hustle off the ground, then this is the episode for you. And if you know someone, if you've got a friend who's a business owner, who's a coach, a consultant, or starting to get a side hustle idea off the ground, send them this episode right now. Spread the message of greatness to them. Help a friend in need. Text them this link. Message them on Facebook. Send them a DM on Instagram. Wherever it may be that you like to connect, send them a message to the link, lewishouse.com/773. Again, lewishouse.com/773. I'm so excited about this episode and all the interviews we did here in the Shark Tank Masters mashup. And we've got some big guests coming up, guys. Get pumped. If this is your first time here, please subscribe to the podcast over on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on SoundCloud, everywhere podcasts are at. Subscribe. Leave us a review. The more reviews we get, the more people learn about the message of greatness, and we can spread this message far and wide. Very excited about everything we are doing as a community and a movement together on the School of Greatness. And as Theodore Isaac Rubin said, happiness did not come from doing easy work, but from the afterglow of satisfaction that comes after the achievement of a difficult task that demands our best. There is no easy path to building your brand and building your business and building financial freedom. There's no simple, easy path, as you saw from all these entrepreneurs on Shark Tank. They've all gone through different challenges and adversities along the way. It's the afterglow of satisfaction that comes once you take on the difficult task. That's part of it. It's part of the journey. It's part of the ups and downs. Life would be boring if it was always easy getting to the top. Find fulfillment in the path. Find fulfillment in the journey and in those little moments every single day. Find the little moments of victories that you can celebrate and keep moving forward. As always, I love you so very much, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
When you visit California, childhood rules. If you don't remember how awesome childhood is, just ask yourself,
what would kids do?
Let childhood rule your family vacation. Start planning your trip to the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
There's a moment you realize you're ready for what's next in your career. Maybe it's when you're trying a new scone recipe and think, I could open a cafe. Or maybe you're helping a coworker and say, I could teach a course on this. Whatever your moment is, it's never too early to plan for a career that lives longer. That's why, the younger you are, the more you need AARP. For skills training, resume tips, and job listings, visit aarp.org/work.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. With Capella University's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.